This is episode 509.
How open-minded are you? Because many people believe, as do I, that behind illnesses, diseases, injuries, and diagnoses, you'll find unresolved trauma that lives within the body and slowly breaks your body down until it totally falls apart. If you've got recurring health problems or a diagnosis that feels heavy and impossible to change, then this episode is for you, because I talk with a healer who works specifically within the trauma and energy space, healing people with all sorts of issues and most commonly working with people that actually have a cancer diagnosis, to energetically and emotionally cleanse them of the burdens that they carry or have carried for so very long, so that their body can get back to healing itself as it was designed to do. For the open-minded person, this is a profound conversation.
Even as a scientist and nutritionist, I was secretly trapped in binge eating and hooked on sugar. And let's be real, the so-called solutions can feel overwhelming. Calorie counting, restrictive diets, weight loss pills, surgery, and even injections. I'm Matty Lansdowne, and the truth is, more nutrition facts aren't the answer. It's understanding why we eat the way we do. And you don't need to be perfect to achieve great health either. That shift changed everything for me, and now I share it here as the host of the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast, where it's my mission to help 1 million people break free from the yo-yo diet cycle for good by bringing you the conversations that really matter in nutrition, health, and psychology. And I'm not afraid to challenge mainstream health advice when it doesn't stack up. Are you ready? Let's begin.
What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome to another boundary-pushing conversation, and probably the boundaries of your mind, because it's probably going to push the boundaries of mine, that's for sure. And before we get started, if you're looking for anything weight loss or health support related, the links to myself and my team are down in the show notes in the caption below. So scroll down, click the link, book in a time to chat, and we can see if we can help or not. Okay, today's guest was introduced to me by one of my favorite cancer experts, whom you may have heard speak here before on the show, Dr. Naysha Winters. And so this person, obviously we love Naysha, so this person comes highly recommended by both Naysha and along with the likes of Zach Bush, which is a pretty high-credentialed person to be recommended by, both of them. So I'd like you to meet Pearlie Montague. She is a healer whose gift is seeing energy, trauma, and pain in colors, in shapes, and quite literally being able to see your health issues like inside your body, which is just wild. And I mean that without an x-ray or without cutting you open. And then once she finds it, she's able to work on it and fix the problem energetically, or at least help your body to do so. And maybe if you're thinking what, how, when, and why, and you're like, this smells a bit fishy. I know, just hold your breath, take a moment. We're going to get into that in the conversation and it's going to make a lot more sense really soon. So Pearlie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the kind introduction. It's a real pleasure to be here. So I appreciate your time.
Likewise. Yeah, it's always nice to have caught up with somebody before we record. So there's a sense of familiarity. Yeah. So it's nice to see you again.
Yay. And it was so lovely when we worked together also a while ago. So thank you for allowing me to hold space for you. It's always a privilege and a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for doing it. Especially in this space of I guess energy, or this gray area of things that aren't necessarily you're able to touch or hold or feel as the recipient of such an experience. It's so useful to sit with someone in that space and be like, okay, what is this? What are we doing? What happens? What do you do with people? And so thanks for bringing me into that world. And I guess maybe a good place to start for listeners is like, what exactly is that world?
Gosh, it's a great question. I mean, for me, it's taking people on a medicine journey, and it's really a journey into the body's hidden language. And I guess we can go back as far as you like, but over many different iterations of sort of death and rebirth, and also a lot of pain, and also my own health journey, this very unique gift started to come through. And I guess it all began in my 29th year. So I'm 38 now, but in my 29th year, I was involved in a really serious accident, and it was very much a near-death experience. And through the journey of essentially having to learn to rebuild my mental and physical health, and then being really inspired by some of the gifts and the modalities that really helped me in such a big way. And so I then began training in reflexology, and then later down the line, Kundalini activation, which is an energy transmission. And then I guess it was just a compilation of, I'd always been brought up to believe that we will have a guardian angel, because my brothers and I all had just moments like it felt like someone was there and looking after us just at a time when things could have been so different. And so it was like, just learning and developing, I guess, as a healer. But that word, it's just taken me a long time to build up enough confidence to be really comfortable with that. But yeah, and just every time that I introduced a new sort of layer of calling in prayers, calling in angels, starting to work with my voice, starting to sing mantras. And just, I remember actually when I was in London and I was doing a lot of work, supporting people with their body. And I was singing, actually, I realized I worked out, I was singing about 20 hours of mantras a week. And I remember I was in this kind of negative loop. It was like the monkey mind can be so unkind. And sometimes it's like, I say to clients now, you know, would you speak to yourself? Would you allow others to speak to you the way you speak to yourself? Because sometimes that internal narrative can be just so cruel and so far from the truth. But anyway, so it was just like I was in this negative loop. And I, aside from having an extraordinary family constellation session that really sort of helped me shift it, but I just, from all these mantras, I just suddenly, it was like I just had changed frequency, and I just really understood the essence of why they called mantras medicine music. And so I used to use my voice singing to people, and it just felt like, it's like when children are little, we sing to them, or when children are little, you organize play dates. But there's so much of the essence of that that I think gets lost as we get older. And I think you need to stay playful and you need to keep singing. And yeah, and so just each time I sort of add in new layers of, I used to use warm oils pouring on the body, and it just felt like such a sacred honoring of someone's body, and just holding them a space of unconditional love and just making them always feel really safe. And then I remember actually it sort of started to come through where I was with my business partner and he couldn't lift his arm to put on a coat. And it was the first time I could see this gray smoke around the socket of his arm. And it was a little bit like I had an imaginary scalpel in my hand, and I was just like cutting and removing. And energetically, when you're working with the same body in the same way, you need to close what you cut and open. And so rather like a surgeon will have stitches and close up a wound that he opens. And so I just cut and removed all this like gray stuff that it just wasn't connected to the light. And then at the end of, once I had finished, he was absolutely fine, could lift up his arm. And so it was just like many layers of just building my confidence, and then realizing not only can I do that in person, but I can do that online. And then now it's got to a point where it's a little bit like a muscle, and also learning to open portals. And there's actually a phenomenal podcast called The Emerald, but it's actually, in my world, it's very normal to find entities in people's fields. And some of them are fine and benign, and some of them aren't serving you and are not, you know, more connected to shadow, if you like. So it's just like, it just becomes this sort of labyrinth for me that opens up, and everyone has ultimately such a deeply unique experience of their own trauma, their own conditioning, their own stress, their own, you know, there's many things. I remember it's like the body doesn't get sick. There's things, there's always a reason why. And it's like that wonderful book, which is called The Body Keeps the Score. Or if you look into water and you look into structuring water, and I'm building a Japanese water temple, but it's like there's a wonderful Japanese scientist called Marimoto who played rock music to water as it was freezing. And then he looked at it molecularly, and it was just so messy when he looked at it under the microscope. And then he also played classical music to water as it was freezing. And he looked at it, and there was this kind of perfect symphony, perfect harmony in molecularly how he looked at the structure of the water. And obviously we're ultimately made up of water. And so it's like when you're speaking to someone and they're really sick, or I seem to have unintentionally developed a niche of fundamentally working with people who've got trauma. But 95% of the time when I'm speaking to someone, especially who's on a cancer journey, it's like you just ask, like, what's important to you? What's happened to you in your life, which is important to you? It's always a trauma, and especially when things have been really painful around the heart and they have breast cancer and it's in their left breast. And so for me, it's always obvious why someone's on a significant health journey, or, you know, they've had a volatile relationship, or they've had, and it's kind of like, I remember it's like going through life. You have a big piece of rope behind you, and it's like walking through a forest, like it starts to get knots and it starts to pick up leaves, and you just have to keep clearing, which is why to be on that healing journey from a very holistic way, from, I totally honor and respect Western medicine. It helped me enormously at times when I had a huge trauma. But I think from my experiences, apart from being in the hospital at the very beginning after this accident experience, I hit a ceiling pretty quickly of just realizing, like, after all the scans and everything, it wasn't going to help me. And I had a lot of injuries and damage to my nervous system. And I had, it just wasn't in a great place. And there isn't a pill that you can take to help with your back. Like, I mean, there is, but all it's doing is, Western medicine, as you know, more than anyone, fundamentally works with people. It's the symptom and it's not the cause. So, you know, you just have to kind of figure out for yourself. And also no one gives you a roadmap of, like, this is what's wrong with you and this has to get better. And so it's been such a huge journey of learning. And then also about 4 or 5 years later, because of the damage to my nervous system, I ultimately burnt out and then had massive issues with my thyroid going overactive and just losing weight and flying into rages and just really not being in a great place. And so just really having to learn. And I worked with an amazing naturopath who really held such a space for me. I'm deeply indebted to her. But then going on a medicine journey and psychedelics also in terms of mushroom ceremonies helped me enormously, of just like layers and layers of just letting go the injuries that my body had been holding for many, many years. And then now I'm sort of lucky enough that people like, Zach or Nisha have been so kind and supportive to my work that I now just work a lot with people like that who do not have time to sit on a Zoom for 2 minutes, and they'll just message me and just say, I've just slipped a disc in my back. I just got a massive pain in my foot. I've got a headache I haven't had for 4 days. And people actually can just leave me a video note for at least, I mean, even a minute. And then I'm lucky enough to be able to help and support them. And yeah, I always do it in a very transparent way. So it's just like the session's always 2 hours, and I always just say, I'm tuning in now, I'm tuning out then. And then there's like a full 10-minute download of, like, I'll just leave them a voice note just explaining colors, structures, visions, downloads, like next steps, what's important to them. But it's always so fascinating, and it always makes so much sense. Of, I remember working with someone who had a challenge with their back going, and they're really a thought leader operating at a globally influential figure. And there's so much that person is essential to with all the different organizations, nonprofits, profits. And I just said to her, your back is gone because you're holding too much and you're the central channel. Like, you need to, you need to find different people that can help you and just keep, just building up your team so that you're not holding everything, and that's why your back is gone. So it just always makes sense to me, and it's just a fascinating journey.
Oh my God, there's so much in there. I was taking like little notes here to be like, oh, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about that. Where to begin? So I guess the the only way that I can make sense of what you do, because I guess I'm, you know, maybe I'm a very visual learner and also tactile in my physical body, is that you must look out of your eyes and see a different world, like a dramatically different world, because it's the only thing that I can make, like, come into logical sense, is to surrender to the idea that you actually just see as if you're putting on, as if I put on some kind of glasses to see the whole universe differently.
Well, so the gift that I have, so when I chat to people sometimes and they'll talk to me about my work and it will come up and I'll say I see colours and structures in the body, and then the inevitable next thing that they say is, what are you seeing in me?
Yeah, that's like whenever I go to anything, people are like, oh, are you watching what I'm eating?
That's funny. And I always say, and it's normally in a sort of party context, and I'll say, look, I don't walk around scanning people because that would be quite overwhelming. But it does just happen intuitively, which is if someone starts to talk to me about trauma, pain, what they're experiencing, I then just start to see it in the body. Or I remember I was swimming with a friend just back home in Ibiza last week, and she's a beautiful, I guess, psychologist, but I could just see all this light coming out of her shoulders. And so And also, I obviously don't share all the things that I see when I'm with people, but I don't necessarily look for it. But obviously, in a work context, when I just start to close my eyes and just make myself available to the person that I'm with, or just at the beginning when I start to just initially have the initial contact and we'll chat for about 30 minutes just to understand their landscape and how I can help them and where they are in their health journey, and then just so much things just start to come through, I always say it's not me healing you. It's your body coming forward to heal, but I'm just making myself available to you. And the gift that I have been lucky enough to be given, it just comes through me. And then it's just, I am able to see where the biology of the body is being blocked from its original design. And then the body comes forward to heal. And I find actually, most of the time, like the results that I have are almost instant. And most of the time I'm able to help people because ultimately I'm just a channel, I'm just a vessel. But it's either like the results are immediate, or it's just like it's more of a structural issue, or maybe it's something in their bloodline. Like, you know, I worked with someone who was losing their hair, but the mom lost her hair and then the grandmother. So like it's just like there are some things, like if someone has a broken bone, that's not my sweet spot. But if it's like trauma or just stuff that's happened, or just anything that's that's been happened in the past that's been really painful for them, then it's, you know, whether it's grief or it's like a bad back or anxiety, although I have done more and more things recently, which I it was kind of wild actually. There's a friend who had a scoliosis and had a really two huge back operations. And I mentored her before because, and you'll know this, but people who go into operations with a positive attitude, for example, it's a catheter when people stop going to the loo in the Norway and they have a catheter, like a little bag. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Catheter. And it's been proven that people who go into that operation seeing that, it will give them a new lease of life. It will be so positive for them. They'll have so much more freedom and agency and sovereignty in their health, have a much better outcome to the operation than those who are just like, oh my God, this is going to be so embarrassing and mortify the shame. And so I was coaching her because she had a massive fear from her mother when she was tiny, who went to the hospital and never came back. And I just said, you've got to see this, like, this is so exciting. You're so lucky. You have the best surgeons, one of the best surgeons in the world, and one of the best hospitals in London. So I was just coaching her mentally. And then actually I was working with her body whilst she was being operated on. And I was able to just watch her being operated on, watch her in the room of just her being on the table and watching all the people, the surgeon doing his thing and just working with her spine, how I was guided to. And yeah, it was, so it's like I'm learning all the time. I guess we're all learning all the time, but it's, yeah, it's just a humbling journey. But I feel like I have such a, like the dream job that I get to help people with the gift that I was given.
You said amongst that share that sometimes it might be more of a structural issue. And I just want to understand what is the difference between a structural issue versus an energetic one? Because I guess in some of the way metaphysical health related stuff that I've looked into, it's like everything comes back to energy or a belief or a trauma in the structure, and the structure yeah. wouldn't have failed if there wasn't one of those in there. So like, what's the distinction between those two?
Yeah. So the way that I, what I mean when I say that, so I try and very much stay in my lane. And so if someone has a broken bone, like that's not, I might be able to help with some, cause there'll be some energetic stuff around that, but that's not my sweet spot. Whereas I've done, I worked with someone recently that they were kind of very dear to me. Otherwise I probably wouldn't have done it. But it was, they had a skiing accident. They tore between their elbows and their shoulders on both sides. They tore the ligaments. Mm-hmm. And I just said, like, I'll absolutely work with you, but I'm just not sure that this is my sweet spot. So anyway, but I really helped a lot with the pain management, and his pain was a lot better. And then someone who also slipped a disc again, and it's like I'm just learning all the time and building my confidence, but I didn't think that necessarily that would be something, because it just, to me, that's quite structural if like a disc actually moves or a ligament's actually been ripped. But I guess I guess there's always energetic stuff around that, so I don't know if that helps answer the question.
Yeah, I'm also curious, like, what do you think happened for you? Like you mentioned the near-death experience. What do you think changed about your own physiology to now access this? Was it kind of like my pineal gland decalcified? Like what do you think physically changes about someone for them to then gain access to these abilities, visions, skills?
Well, I think in a small way, we're all deeply intuitive, and it's a little bit like a muscle. Like the more you use something, the stronger it gets. And that's just been my experience. But I think when I reflect on the path that I have in this life, which is quite unusual, and being in a little Greek island, Corfu, I'm building a little water temple, which is also a community center. And it's like to have a little kind of ancient olive grove which runs down to the water with its own little beach, and like to be given this gift that when I started to build this temple, which was always the intention, it would be a place for healing and transformation, but the gift that I have now wasn't there. And actually in the way that life has moved, it's like I was actually building my own healing center for me to do my own healing work, but I had no idea at the time. But I think one of the reasons that it's come to me is what resonates with me, at least, is for as long as I can remember, I've always said a prayer in the morning when I do my morning prayers, which is to ask, like, God and angels, please use me, like, use me as a vessel. And so I think if you, like, we live, I remember it was the first time the spiritual side of life sort of came into my world, if you like. And my meditation teacher, I sat with him and he said, just look outside at nature, how it moves in perfect harmony from summer to autumn to winter to spring. And he said, just look at the intelligence that sits behind our lives, and just look outside at nature. And I just thought it was just such a huge penny drop of like, oh, it's not just the 3D reality that we live in and that we work in. And then, I mean, there's so many stories from people around me, or just from growing up, and yeah, and just things that are beyond. And then I think obviously now everyone's pretty aware of sort of mainstream manifesting and neuro-linguistic programming, and just how we, yeah, there's something that lies beyond just the 3D world that we live in. And so I think because of learning that sort of 10 years ago, and just really understanding kind of the way the universe works in that respect. And so I've been you know, so many things in my life, from doing a TEDx talk or like building a temple or having like being able to really serve people and ultimately help people and reach communities. And so I think because of like certain prayers and practices, I think all of that just aligns with why I think I've been given the gift that comes through me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we're probably, as humans, we're more similar than we are different. And so I agree with the idea that we've got intuition is probably just a muscle within all of us. It's just not a muscle in the way that we've been taught that muscles work per se. And we live in a very materialistic world. And I would even extend that to, you know, our own biology. You know, the bit we can touch and hold and the physicality of it is the focus of much of our lives. And, you know, like our body is really just to get our brain to meetings, for instance, you know. So I think our whole society is being geared in that direction. But I'm curious, historically speaking, because we go to a lot of these ancient places or tap into these ancient traditions, whether it be Japanese culture or Australian Aboriginal culture or Mayan culture. And we often find this world of wonder and amazement about energy or about the universe. Why do you think that has been cultured out of us, at least in the West?
I mean, that's a great question. I guess what Western medicine just has its own way of working that it's developed, that sort of the way that it's set up. I mean, especially if you look at the American system, the medical system, which is just, as a European, I find very hard to understand. But I think it's just developed its own course of the way that it works and the way that it functions and the way that it's ultimately geared towards, like I touched on before, fundamentally dealing with the symptom and not the cause. But what I find really fascinating, because I spent a month in the rainforest in Brazil doing ayahuasca, and it was just so deeply transformational for me, and just so many, the number of injuries that left my body that during that experience, it was just huge. But I think also when you look back at all the different tribes, of all the different way that they do medicine journeys and ceremonies and rituals and the like that have been going back forever. And the one thing that carries all of those things, the common theme is music. And how music has ultimately been the central thing that all of those things have in common, of just ultimately being that medicine journey. And so, yeah, I think it's really interesting how psychedelics is now really coming into mainstream, and so many of some like really big executives that I work with and support, they're all doing plant medicine work. And I think it's like people are really starting to wake up of how important it is to be on a healing journey, because of the pace of life and the amount of just the overloads with our phones and that connectivity, which is so much for our body. And we've been, you know, if you think how long humans have been alive, and for a nanosecond we've had phones and like Wi-Fi. And you know, I remember my meditation teacher saying that the number of like, from when he did retreats 20 years ago to now, like the amount that people used to feel on retreats versus now, because ultimately our body is geared to survive. And so in order to survive with all the like signals and everything flying around with cities, it's like you used to be able just to come into harmony and resonance in cities. But now, because of all the, I think he said it was something like just like thousands and thousands comparatively to what it was 20 years ago. So your system is being like constantly bombarded, which is why ultimately it's always like, just remember to, it's like that kiss method, which is kiss standing for keep it simple, stupid. And it's like, just connect to nature, like just swim in the sea. And if you're lucky enough to be close to the water, or just go for a walk without your phone and just try and like just drink in, like what can you see, what can you hear, what can you feel, and just try and, yeah, just I think I work a lot when I'm working with people's bodies. I get a lot of visualizations with water. And I always like, I love the analogy that given that fundamentally we're made up of water, which is water that is left alone will always return to stillness. And I think that's so much of the essence of what our bodies sometimes are calling for in this ever busy, overwhelming world, which is like, just come back to stillness, come back to your center, which is like ultimately what meditation is supporting us to do, which is why I think it's, especially today, it's just so valuable. And especially if you look at like the little younger generations growing up who just have so much bombardment and they don't have anything like the emotional agility or the emotional maturity to try and, I came off Facebook in my 20s because I was able to recognize how it was making me feel and it just wasn't good. And obviously that's kind of, there's been whistleblowers on that are aware of it, but it's like, how do you protect your children? And obviously you're a father now. So it's like something that you're going to have to navigate, but it's like without isolating them. And it's like, it's really challenging and disheartening, I think, for the younger generation.
Yeah. We live, I guess, distantly out of the city here, and we intentionally moved here for his birth so that we're surrounded by trees and greenery. But every opportunity, like, I'm getting him onto the earth for exactly the reasons you're talking about, so that he's downloading, you know, and calming his nervous system and detoxing some of those electrons that have built up, because there's so many EMFs everywhere. And I guess both you and I right now, like, you know, we're wired in rather than being using Wi-Fi or Bluetooth to connect us. But
I guess
on the as an extension of that idea of wavelengths and wavelengths that affect people, it makes me ask a question which I've struggled to wrap my head around for a long time, which is, let's go with like the understanding that everything in the universe is connected. So I can buy into that idea. I'm with you on that. But mm-hmm. the idea that people can do things online or not in the room to affect the energy that is coming off my body, that's really hard for me to get my head around. And it's like, because intention or positive vibes or whatever's being put out of me or you physically has to travel around, well, depending on what you believe, across a flat disc, around a sphere, it's got to travel a significant distance before those energies meet. I find it challenging to adopt the idea that someone can do this kind of work not sitting in front of you physically.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a really small way, if you think about if you speak to a beloved, you know, if you speak to your loved one and you're not with them and you speak on the phone, but you can feel the love from them wherever you are, and it's an energy connection ultimately. And I guess I would ask in terms of when I worked with you, I would be so interested to hear your experience of when I was working with your body.
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, the main thing was that it was just incredibly relaxing. I mean, it was essentially a big part of it was laying down meditation. And so in its most simple form, it was just nice to sort of disconnect my thoughts from all of the things I needed to do and that kind of thing. So I guess the assessment of it was that it was just very restorative.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, it's just been, I guess when I'm just channeling ultimately and just doing the microenergetic surgery that I'm guided to do and just following the flow of, like, I never know when I'm going to start with someone, whether I'm going to be guided to go left or right, even though they've given me a lot of information of where they are. But it's always, it's always just such a fascinating journey. And then because there's so much that we talk through always at the end, the last sort of 20 minutes we'll spend just talking through everything that I saw. And then often what I find so fascinating is like what I see is mirrored in what they saw. And so it's like, it's just, they're kind of saying the same thing and we're seeing this, the same visions, the same sort of images, which is always I always find it so fascinating when I get that a lot.
Because you're listening here, I can safely assume you're an absolute legend. And so if you want to keep this party going, I'd love to invite you over to follow me on Instagram or YouTube, both under the same name of The Real Weight Loss Coach. Over there, you'll find different content in both places. It's different. So heaps of bite-sized pieces of information. So if you want to learn lots of things really fast with a bit of a scroll, or simply you just prefer some visuals, then scroll over to The Real Weight Loss Coach on Instagram and YouTube. So see you there. Thank you. And let's get back into the episode.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier as well, entities.
Can you
explain that more? Well, two questions. Can you explain that more? Because that's like an interesting thing for people to hear, probably for the first time. And were there any entities attached to me in my field? Like, what was going on with entities and me? Are we friends? Are we not friends?
So it's actually in my world, it's actually very normal for me to find entities in people's field. Or you can find, for example, also I remember working with someone who was having their intellectual property stolen, and they said, "I'm really anxious. I've got a conference coming up. Can you just help me with this person? I'm just like, I feel really not in a great place." And actually, I could see this person in this person's field. And so I was able to remove them from the field. And then what happened actually is like when you remove things in the energetic, in someone's energetic world, in their field, then it's mirrored in the 3D. And so what happened, she then messaged me and said she cancelled last minute to the conference, where I was so worried that she was also going to be there and I was speaking. And then I worked with someone where they'd had a really kind of challenging year, and there was I found all these knives in their back. And it was like, what came to me felt very obvious. It was like they'd been stabbed in the back, but it was all, from females. And then it was really funny. They messaged me about a week later and they said, "You'll never believe this, but three people who've been working for me for about 6 years have all just quit. And they're all women that I realize now had been stabbing me in the back." But then in terms of like actual entities, so it's actually very normal for us to, you know, as I'm sure everyone's heard of ghosts or ghost stories from people that perhaps they know. And so in the same way that we can pick up entities in our field, but sometimes they're fine and it doesn't matter. And then sometimes they're not fine and they're more connected to shadow. And so, or sometimes it can look like an animal form, like a serpent or something like that. And in that case, sometimes when I find it, it's just like, I'm just guided to remove them from the field and return them to the light. And it's just like, it's just something that I find in the field that ultimately isn't serving someone. And there's actually a fascinating podcast called The Emerald. And there's this amazing episode, which I love, which is about protectors and guardians. And it's like, in the same way that you have people in the world who are good and have good intentions, and you have people in the world who are actually kind of quite intentionally bad in the way that they show up. And it's the same that I find. So it's like we have angels and archangels who I work with a lot, who support me, because like I said before, it's not really me. I'm just a vessel. And so I have all these guides that I call in, these angels that I work with, who are very much connected to the light with good intention. And then in the same way, like sometimes I also have to call in help just when I find entities that are really not serving someone, and like there's a lot of shadow and it's not, you just want to get them out of their field. So I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, that's just a very normal experience for me with people. Yeah.
What entities were in my field?
I think there was one entity in your field that I removed, but it's always good to remove them, but I never want people to worry. It's like, it's okay. But also sometimes, because there's a friend who's very much a medicine woman and holding ceremony, and when you're holding space for someone or for a group, let's say, and like a retreat, weekend retreat, and it's a medicine journey, then it's quite like you're a container for that person. And so it's like, it's so important to clear, because we can also pick stuff up and yeah, you just need to be quite careful. Otherwise you would burn out pretty quickly. So I have like a ton of protection prayers and things that I do just to make sure that, for healers to burn out, it's like a very well-trodden path. Because they're taking on stuff from their clients. So you just need to be really, just to be really mindful and really careful.
Mm, yeah, I agree. Yeah, we even see that in the kind of work that I do. You talk about one particular thing all day, and then you find yourself doing it. And it's like, what? Like, I shouldn't be doing what they're telling me about. But countertransference, I think, is the clinical word for... for doing what your clients do or absorbing and having the similar problems to what your clients do. It's like you speak it so often, it manifests, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess what we think about expands.
Mm. Yeah. I'm curious on that, as an extension of that, is that do you find that people that have particular injuries or diseases or diagnoses, that there's a common thread in what the story is for that, those kinds of people, breast cancer, for instance? Like, is it a common theme in all breast cancer cases?
Yeah, absolutely. So the when I unintentionally just ended up developing kind of a niche was supporting a lot of people who are on a cancer journey. And I thought I would go into working with them and they would essentially say, can you get rid of my cancer. Thanks very much.
Brilliant.
And actually every single time, actually what you're working with is the trauma. And when people start sharing their experience, like what's important to them, what's happened to them physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, sexually, it's always trauma that's happened. And especially, like I touched on before, when it's matters around, like perhaps their mother's been really awful to them. And then they have breast cancer around on the left breast. And it's just like, it's always obvious to me. It's like, you just, and especially in our first 7 years of when we're born, it's like such a huge time of when we can be conditioned and of things that can happen, which the body stores and the body remembers, like we spoke about before. And so fundamentally, it's the trauma. That's the common theme. And like, the very, very few times when it's not obvious to me, because someone's had a happy childhood and a happy marriage and a happy life. And then actually the only other times when it's not obvious to me why they're on a really significant health journey is that's when I find like really dark entities in their field. And then there's nothing in between. Like it's always either that, or it's like fundamentally 95% of the time it's just because of trauma. And that's kind of what I specialize in.
Do you have a belief or a comment around where genetics come into the conversation? Because, I mean, I talk a lot on the podcast that, you know, diet, lifestyle, the way we live, the relationships we have, you know, the epigenetics are far more important than genetics. But do you think that there's ever an argument to be made for the genetics are just not optimal or are weak for somebody's physiology? And energy work can't necessarily help, like, or do you think it's like it's energy work can always help? It's just about the person being open to it.
Yeah, I think in the most simple way, energy work can always help. But in also the most simple way, like we could spend 2 weeks talking about this, but every thought counts and every word counts. And if you think something is possible, then it's possible. And if you think something is not possible, then it's not possible. And it's like, just look at the placebo effect. So it's, and like we were talking about before in terms of when people go into operations with a positive mindset of the outcome, and it's been proven to change the outcome of operations. And so, yeah, just absolutely. That's what I always say to people. It's like, all I need from you, although I never end up working with people who aren't there, because otherwise they wouldn't have ended up connecting with me and asking for support. But just in the most simple way, like, although actually I work quite a lot with children through mothers, because if someone has an energetic bond to someone, I'm able to work yeah, so one of the ways that I work with children with like quite difficult teenagers or, you know, little babies who can't perhaps communicate what's wrong with them. So, but yeah, I think energy work, it's such a holistic thing, and it's like you're just working in the field. So it's just working. It's a little bit like I'm working with the electromagnetic fields of the body, and through thousands of years there's been like Reiki, Japanese Reiki, and then acupuncture and the like. And these are just all working at the lever point of how biology and physiology occurs. And so, but what happens when we go through life is we build up like chemical trauma, physical trauma, mental trauma, or like spiritual trauma. And it just gets stored in the biology of the body. And what happens is like, unless we like, in many of our cultures today, we've lost those ancient rituals which enabled this trauma to be released. So things like fireside song, dancing, ceremony, ritual, and the like. And so what gets happened is actually the trauma gets stored in the body, but actually it doesn't get stored just in this lifetime, but it can be stored generationally. And so that's why you get this generational trauma of people who have had the same challenges as their parents or their grandparents, because things get passed down through the bloodline. It's like, I'll be working with someone who is like, she's not married, and her mother never got married, and then the grandmother never, and there's this like, all the men are fine and married and like in abundance, and all the women, it's like, there's just this story that's like going, that's been passed down, or like all the mother line, like they've all been terrible with money. And so it's like these stories just continue until like you learn energetically, or like, you know, I'm able to support them. And it's just like, I learn to like cut the bonds. There's like, there's a ritual that we do of like, you know, it's like, it's kind of a little hard to explain, but it's like, you just ultimately, it's like that story doesn't serve you, and it's not your story anymore. That's the story you were born with, but it doesn't belong to you, and we're letting it go. And so I just help to let them go, or like, yeah, just other things like that. But it makes a lot of sense of understanding why we can have this generational trauma, which is like from people who've been through the war, and, you know, they just didn't have the, I guess society didn't have the understanding of mental health that we're all very much aware of now, and it's very mainstream. So you're just if you can just be mindful and just aware, and then it's like you always have the opportunity to work with things. But I think also in the same way, if you always ask for help, or you can ask for life in terms of the power of prayer, then, you know, if I look at back on my life, I was always guided. There were always signs, and actually the biggest mistakes I've made in my life, there were signs of like supporting me, because it's ultimately, it feels it's like there's a loving intelligence that sits behind our lives. It's just waiting for us to show up. And it's like the monkey mind causes so much pain. It's like, if you listen to a lot of people who've had a near-death experience, and it's like, you have that white light experience, and which is what I had. And it's like, and people have been brought back to life, and they always describe this such a common theme with the description. And it's always that it was such a blissful place, and it was just so, like, they often say, why did you bring me back? And because it's like the mind is out of the way. And I know that from my understanding, the body, the brain emits a lot of light when we are going through the dying process. And that's why the white light experience is very, it's a lot more common than you would realize. But it's always fascinating when you come back in the body, and it's like when I remember watching Senna, the most famous Brazilian racing car driver, and his manager was the first person who got to his body as he crashed. And he said, I'm not a spiritual man, but I saw something leave his body, and then I knew he was gone. And it was like, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and it's like, our body, you know, it's like, just have to keep looking after it. And then there's a time where the soul leaves and we go through the dying process, and it's time to go on.
I did not expect, of all the podcasts I've ever recorded, that we would be talking about Formula One in this conversation.
the dying process.
No, Ayrton, yeah, but Ayrton Senna. Like, I am a crazy Formula One fan. So it's like, of all the things I've ever talked about, this was the most surprising that we ended up at Formula One.
But it's fascinating, though, and it makes so much sense when the way his manager describes it. It's like, that's what happens when we die.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, my God. For anybody that's listening that is like, Pearly, firstly, her voice is amazing to listen to. And secondly, I want to get more of her. Where are we sending them?
Oh, well, thank you. If people feel a heart resonance and want to connect with my work, so they can find me on, it's on Instagram. So it's called, if you type in Pearly Montague, then you'll find me, but it's called a Pearly Way of Life, and pearl is spelled like the oyster in the sea. So it's a Pearly Way of Life. And then, yeah, you can connect with my work. And I also would love to offer, I normally do sessions that are, the exchange is $650, but I'm really happy to offer a very special, offering for your community, so that it's $400 just for a limited time only. So yeah, if anyone feels a call and, or they've got some health challenges or children that they find, you know, perhaps need some support, then it's always a huge privilege to be able to help people. So yeah, would be delighted to hear from you.
Amazing. I'll pop those links down in the show notes below. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I want to suss this out, or I want to book in a time, scroll down to Pearly's links and press them and get into that world, because she does beautiful work, and it comes, as I said at the start, very highly recommended by some pretty amazing, powerful people in the world of holistic health. So, but before we finish, I want to do our little real talk segment, ask you a handful of questions that I guess introduce us to you on a different level. So are you cool if we dive into doing that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Amazing. Okay, so we've got six questions. And the first one is, what's something that you believe now that made you laugh 10 years ago?
That I'm able to see emotional and physical pain in vivid colors and structures in the body, and I can work with people remotely who I haven't even spoken to. Yeah, if you told me I would be living where I'm living on this in Ibiza and building a temple in Greece, and I would be doing the work that I would do, I just would laugh out loud.
All right. The next one is, what's one habit that you'd be embarrassed to admit that you still have?
Oh my goodness. So I go through phases of crisp addictions, big time. I'm currently out of it. So I'm off, which is good, but it's a slippery slope. And I was joking with a friend yesterday. I was like, there are some truffle crisps in Ibiza. It's a brand here where it's like, when they're open, it's like all bets are off.
The next one is, what's one supplement, habit, or wellness trend that you think is overhyped?
Well, I think I just find the whole essence of biohacking, just that word, is ridiculous, because our biology has such a perfection to it. With the sort of tens of millions of cells that work in a perfect symphony of the way that the human body is so phenomenal, and especially for me, with seeing the way that it heals in just such extraordinary ways, especially because I get quite a lot of spontaneous remissions, which is medical lingo for a miracle. And so for people to say it's like hacking our biology, I just think it's just the silliest word.
What's a rabbit hole topic you think more people should explore?
A rabbit hole topic. There's a book that I read that really did change my life called Fatal Conveniences by Darren O'Leal. And he's a superfood guy. And the essence of it was, he was sort of looking at all the toxins. So for example, now one in two people are meant to get cancer. And it wasn't always like this. So it's like, why? And the book basically goes through, from the moment that we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, the number of times your body is bombarded by basically like chemical toxicities that are in from the food that we eat to the nonstick pans that we have to our shampoos to the stuff that we use to build our homes to the stuff that we use to wash our homes and clean our homes to soaps and shampoos and just like all the dyes in the clothes. And so your body is just like being constantly bombarded with just these chemical toxicities. So it's taken me a really long time. And I did go down a rabbit hole and bore a lot of people. Like just trying to like just layer by layer, just like, you know, what are you putting on your body or what are you putting in your body with like your face creams and like, yeah. So for me, it just, and especially with Nisha, Nisha Winters says this, it's like 95% of cancers can be prevented through food and health. And in Europe, we're so lucky that the quality of the food is actually, it's pretty good compared to America, right? It's like, it's a lot more of a challenging, confusing landscape. So it's just like, just try and look at like maybe fundamentally, first of all, like what are you putting in your body and just, you know, just see how you can do it so that it's also in line with your budget. But there's always clever ways that you can, I think, perhaps eat good food. And it doesn't have to cost so much. If you do like minestrone soup or like lentils and that, it's incredibly healthy. So yeah, that's a proper rabbit hole you can go down.
In 20 years from now, what do you want to be known for?
So on the Greek island Corfu, I'm building a temple that's meant to be the intention. It'll be a community center, and it's the intention is that it really helps and enables the community in a meaningful way. And the little water temple, it's a Japanese water temple, which is also, the Japanese water temples are at the same temperature as the womb. And so you can do this extraordinary work of working with the babies in their mummies' tummies in the community where I live. And it's just, for me, that's my way of honoring mothers and my way of being a mother in this life. And this is kind of what I'm birthing. And so I would be loved to known for just supporting those mothers and also for the house to be a light and a place where the community can come together that doesn't involve any money. And it's just, I think it's really important to give back. And I've been so lucky and so blessed. So it's like to be able to share what I've been lucky enough to steward.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And the final question, if everything you've ever said was deleted, what's one sentence that you'd want to leave people with?
I think gratitude for me is that's the sort of Willy Wonka golden ticket. If everyone could live their lives through the essence of gratitude, it would just be such a fundamental shift. It's just the essence of how I live, and it's just, it can be deeply profound, and just, it's like the power of positive thinking, the power of positive mental attitude. It's just like every thought counts, every word counts, and it's your thoughts that create your reality and the filter of how we see the world. And so it's like, is your glass half full or is it half empty? And just, yeah, if you can sprinkle everything with gratitude and a little bit of a sense of humor. And I think that's a beautiful way to show up in the world.
Oh, I agree. And what a beautiful way for us to round out this conversation.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks so much for your time, and I've enjoyed our connections. So I'm hoping we can do it again in the future.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.